God, our Heavenly Father, grant us now to be open to hear thy word. Though our understanding and our speaking may be so imperfect, by thy Holy Spirit reveal to us the truth of Christ, and may we, hearing, receive, believe, and do according to thy gracious will. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. We're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, and you'll remember that last week I spoke about the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Petitions which are concerned with the name of God, the kingdom or rule of God, and the will of God. In our own lives, we're so often concerned with our own name in the community, our own little kingdom, our own will. And we get frustrated if our will is thwarted. But we pray rather, Lord, in my life today, and in all of my life, may thy holy name be honored. Hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, be Lord and King of my life. May thy will be done in me, as we know that thy will is done in heaven. And as we pray that prayer, our longing is not only for our own personal lives, but we long too for that time when the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the sea is full of water. It's a great petition of hope, not only for our own lives, but the whole world. That great day when the kingdom of the Lord really will rule this earth, and his will really will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus taught us to pray that, he must have meant us to pray expectantly, hoping for that great day when it will surely be accomplished. May all of us here today be ready for that day, the coming of his kingdom. May as many people as will throughout this earth respond to his grace and mercy so that they may rejoice at his coming. Thy kingdom come. The early church prayed the prayer Maranatha, which means come, Lord Jesus. How then should we regard our lives today before that time? What about our needs of this present day and this present hour? Well, we shouldn't be anxious about the future, but we should pray for today's needs for ourselves as Jesus taught us. Firstly, he said that we should pray, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, give us, Lord, this day our daily needs, what we need for life upon this earth. Let's just think of that petition with its various phrases. Give us this day. We're not praying for provisions for the future, but for this day. We don't know what the future will bring. Matthew 6, Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Of course, we must make provision for the future, but we mustn't live in carking anxiety about the coming days. Our prayer for the future is, thy kingdom come. Not, Lord, I'm worried about what will become of me next year or in 10 years' time. But give me today the strength I need for today. Give me this day my daily bread. My daily bread, not my daily cake. We're not praying for luxury here. God may bless us with cake. He may give us good things in life, and surely he does. We may be blessed with this or that luxury during our life upon earth, but that's not our prayer. Our prayer is for our daily bread, what we really need for our life upon this earth. The word daily can also mean here the coming day. Give us for this coming day our daily bread. So the Lord's Prayer can be prayed in the morning for this day, or it can be prayed in the evening for the coming day. Give me this day my daily bread. Not give me in the sense of I'll not bother to work and the Lord will provide. No. We still need to earn our living if we are able, if we are able to get work, and if we are fit for work, if employment is available, then we earn our living. It's not asking God just to give us, and we deliberately do not work. Farmers have to plow, they sow, and they reap to provide the basic cereals. We too are commanded to feed the hungry. When we say to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we're expressing the truth that ultimately we're dependent entirely upon him for our life. Behind the farmer lies the creator and sustainer of all things. Give us this day our daily bread, our day-to-day bread. We depend upon the Lord for our day-to-day existence. Each day we live is a gift from God. It's by the grace of God that we live at all. All the scientists in the world can't make the simplest form of life, not even a blade of grass. How much more then we human beings live by the grace of him who is the creator and sustainer of all things. Each day is a gift from him. We didn't earn the right to be alive or to live this day. It's by his grace. Give us this day our daily bread. And then secondly, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Just as bread and food are indispensable for the life of our bodies, so being forgiven is indispensable for the life of our soul. A soul that is laden with unforgiven guilt is a soul that's cut off from the life of God. A soul that is dead in trespasses and sins, to use Paul's words. Forgive us our debts. Sin is like a debt because it deserves to be punished. When we sin, there is a charge against us. Therefore, we are in debt. Putting it another way, to fail in our duty to God and our fellow man is to be in debt to God and to our fellow man. And we pray, Lord, forgive us our debts. We don't pray, Lord, excuse us our sins. We pray, forgive. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me means I have done wrong. It was my fault. Therefore, I ask not to be excused, but to be forgiven. If we pray the prayer, Lord, excuse me the wrong that I did, then we are meaning I did wrong, but it wasn't my fault. It was other things such as tiredness, or that I was misled, or other circumstances caused me to do that wrong, and I've got some excuses. But we're not praying for the Lord to excuse us the things we do wrong. We're asking him to forgive us. If it was my fault, I don't ask God to excuse me. I ask him to forgive me. We read in Psalm 32 these words. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Night and day your hand was heavy upon me. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Sometimes we brood over the past. We try to imagine that some wrong that we did, we didn't really do. In our imaginations, we try and change the past. But then reality comes back to us, and we realize, yes, we did do that thing that was wrong. And there is only one way to deal with that. Not to imagine that we didn't do it, but to confess it and to ask not to be excused, but to be forgiven. I'll be speaking this evening more about the way that we can be reconciled to God in this evening's service. We ask God to forgive us and then to do his will in us for the future. Thy will be done from now on, Lord, in me, as thy will is done in heaven. And true repentance and the receiving of forgiveness leads us to have a forgiving spirit towards others. If you are forgiven by God, you will find it easier to forgive others when they wrong you. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The inward flow of God's forgiveness to us is impossible if there's not an outward flow from us of forgiveness to others. If we refuse to forgive others, then we put a block in the way so that God's forgiveness cannot reach us. General Oglethorpe said to John Wesley, I never forgive. And John Wesley replied, then I hope, sir, you never sin. Ah, we say, well, I'll forgive that person the wrong he or she did to me, only if he had an excuse. I'll not forgive him or her because he didn't have an excuse. There was no excuse for what he did to me. How do you know there was no excuse? You do not know what private pressures and difficulties he may have. Also, you are not asked to excuse him. You are asked to forgive him, or at least to be willing to forgive. Actually, forgiveness cannot be real unless the person you're forgiving is willing to receive the forgiveness. But you must at least be willing to forgive. just as you and I cannot receive God's forgiveness if we are not willing to receive His forgiveness. We ask God to forgive us the past and put His hand on us for the future. We ask His will to be done in us, but we pray thirdly, Lord, when you lay your hand upon us, lead us not into temptation. These days, the word temptation means to be seduced to sin. And of course, God does not tempt us in that sense. But the word also means to be tested, to be tried. And so we could translate this, lead us not into hard testing. In the Bible, the word is used of God testing His people to see whether they're really loyal. Deuteronomy 13, verse 3, the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love Him with all your heart and with all your soul. So God, in Genesis we read, God tested Abraham in relation to Isaac. But we also read in the Bible that God does not allow us to be tested beyond that which we can bear. And also the trial or testing of our faith leads to blessing and strengthening of us. So the testing and trial from God can be good. It's part of the fashioning process in which He molds us into being men and women, mature and strong in the faith. So how then should we understand this petition, lead us not into temptation, lead us not into hard testing? I think the clue is this word, into. Lead us not into temptation. The word means going right inside. Don't allow us to be completely engulfed by trials. Yes, trials and difficulties and problems will come. They may strengthen our faith, but Lord, do not let me be overwhelmed by them. Don't let me be in the situation that wherever I look, there is trial and temptation. Don't let me be completely engulfed by trials and temptations. Even though trials come, let them not weaken my faith. Let not the devil get hold of me. When dangers and troubles come near, Lord, deliver me from evil. Of course, this whole prayer assumes that we're going to allow His hand of grace upon our lives so that His will be done in us as it is in heaven. But let us remind ourselves that the hand is the hand of the King of Kings, to whom belongs all kingdom and power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored in our lives for the rest of our days upon this earth and in all the world. We look forward to that great day when your kingdom will come, and we pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, so that what you purpose may be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Give each of us each day our daily needs, Forgive us, Lord, our sins, as we too forgive those who sin against us. Don't allow us to be overwhelmed by hard testing, but instead deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.